Our Father, we thank you for that precious hand. Thank you for that precious side, the brow, those precious feet that were the spikes and the thorns replaced. For the precious blood, Peter says, that was shed for our sins. And we come tonight to remembrance of that. We pray to see deep in our heart and our soul as we come to remember you, how much we appreciate what you've done for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Take your Bibles and turn, if you will, for just a moment in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Now, I want to just make a few comments because tonight is communion. We're going to go right into the communion service. But we always need to understand why we have this. You say, well, I know why, but we still need to be remembered what the Lord has said. This is 26 years after Jesus in Matthew chapter 26 and verse 26 gave the what we consider communion, the Lord's Supper, on that particular night before he went to Calvary and died. And the Apostle Paul is telling us he's given us again what he has received at this particular time. We don't know how God gave him this. We know that Paul did not ever see Christ in the sense why he was on this earth that we know of. We do know that he certainly had a vision from Christ. We know that he was inspired by the Holy Spirit of God. We know he saw him as fresh as anybody could see him as a believer. But we know also that he was kind of hid away, and the Holy Spirit was giving him a lot of instructions, I believe, about the Old Testament. He was certainly fluent in the Old Testament and studied. But the Holy Spirit had to give him the ability to be able to look at the Old Testament to see Christ. It amazes me. I had the privilege this past week to speak to a converted Jew. What a blessing it was to be able to talk to him and tell how for years he could not see Christ at all. And he took the scriptures and going to go in the Old Testament and prove that Jesus Christ was not mentioned in the Old Testament. He didn't care nothing about the New Testament. By the way, most Jews don't unless they're saved. And he said, I began to look, and he said, I had trouble. One thing I had trouble with, God said in the book of Genesis, let us make man in our image. He said, that's more than one. And he said, I never knew who the other two was until I met Jesus Christ. And then he said after that, he said, it amazes me the difference a person can see in scriptures when they literally trust Christ as their personal Savior. And as talking to him, I asked him some question about the Old Testament. It amazes me. He said the Old Testament is full of Jesus Christ. You just have to have the Holy Spirit to see him. And so when we see the old and it lays the foundation for the new, and then we trust Christ as Savior, we study the new to understand the old. And here, the Apostle Paul, who was Saul of Tarsus, who met the Lord on the road to Damascus, he certainly knew as a Hebrew the Old Testament scriptures. But he did not understand who Christ was until he met him on the road to Damascus in Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9 is an important part of Christ, Paul's or Saul's at that time, who became Paul's conversion. I was talking to a person a few years ago, and they said they studied the book of Acts and said for some reason when the teacher got to the book of Acts, the 9th chapter, he skipped over that and went to the 10th chapter. I wonder why. I mean, you can't understand a lot of other things that happened in the book of Acts in chapter 10 on if you didn't understand what happened in chapter 9, because most of the book of Acts are about the Apostle Paul and the transition period from the Old Covenant to the New Covenant. And so here Paul's writing to the church at Corinth, and he's telling about what he had received in verse 23 of the Lord. He said, that I received, I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took some bread. Now, it's interesting, isn't it? You go back and you look, and we know the night that Christ met with the disciples before he was actually crucified, they had a lot of things that happened that night. They talked about a lot of things, I'm sure. It wasn't just a real quick supper and they left. It was a planned meal. Jesus knew his days were through on earth, and he planned this out for the disciples to spend some valuable quality time with them before he went to Calvary. He knew when he walked out those doors that he would not have any more quality time with them until after he rose from the dead. And even then, they could not really understand what was going on until the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit came and began to reveal to them from a spiritual inside information what they had heard and what they thought they had learned, but they could not put it together without the leadership of the Holy Spirit of God. So the Holy Spirit of God on the day of Pentecost gave them understanding about things that they had heard, even in the life of Christ for 3.5 years as they met with Him during that time. But wonder why that the Lord Jesus picked this instant out to be told later. Now, we know what it means as far as remembrance. But of all the other things, there's not anything else that's said much that went on that night except Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper, or what we look at as communion, as He gave the bread and gave the cup representing His body and also His blood. In verse 26, He says, "For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till He comes." Now, ladies and gentlemen, or till He comes, notice that. As often as you do this, you show the Lord's death till He comes. He's coming. He's coming back. There's the promise hid away in what we're doing tonight. You do this till He comes. It's affirming the fact what Jesus said about Him coming. And Paul said, do it till He comes. Now, when we take communion together, some people feel that they're so spiritual that they never need to keep communion. There are some people who have been saved for years and never kept communion. Ladies and gentlemen, that's wrong. God gave a command that communion is in part of our life, and stopping in our trail, stopping in our fast-paced lane, and remembering what the Lord has done for us. It's like giving a period of time that we can reflect. Be honest with you. You think during the day, unless it's early in the morning, or unless it's at night before you go to bed, how much did you stop to reflect on what the Lord has done? Very little. If you have daily reading, you have family altar, there's not a lot of reflecting. You know what it is? It's doing what I'm supposed to do and quickly getting it over with. So I can go to bed, or so I can go to work, so I can do something else. I think the Lord knew that. And so what He's done, He set a time for us in time to stop and reflect and remember. Tonight is the time to remember. Some people, again, are so spiritual, they don't ever think they need to keep communion. Then there's another side, from this side to the other side, some people abuse it. Here at Corinth abuse it for sure, because they were using it for a feast. And by the way, this is a feast, it's not a funeral. Communion is a feast, it's not a funeral. But at the same time, it is not a feast in the sense that you come to feel your body, your stomachs, and have a party-like atmosphere where in turn that people say, we have fellowship together. Corinth was doing that. There was people coming not just because of remembrance of Christ. They were coming to get the stomachs filled. They were coming to be fed. And Paul is reprimanding them for that. There's a place for that, he says, and there's a place to do what the Lord has said do here. So again, some abuse it. Some make it a dinner make a type dinner out of it. Some believe that the bread and the cup become Christ's body and blood. It's called transubstantiation. That is, when you take of the body bread and you take of the cup, that it literally becomes the body and the blood of Christ. So that means that they have to have communion every week, because to take and it becomes blood and it becomes His blood and it becomes His body, it's like being saved every week. Thank God. It may sound foolish, but I'm glad I don't have to be born physically every week, don't you? Amen. Praise God. And thank God you don't have to be born again every week. If you get born again, you're born again, and you're born again forever. And then some feel it's only a ceremony. We just come for a ceremony. It has no meaning at all. Just come together and have a little ceremony. No, it's not a ceremony. It's a remembrance. And it is done that we might remember what God has done for us. It's a divinely appointed thing that God said do. And there's reason for that. It's a profession of our faith. We're remembering what Christ did for us. It's loyal to Christ. We're obeying what He said do. And surely, if I trust Him to save me, I want to be loyal to that which He commands me to be involved in. And it's a testimony of a faith to an unbelieving world. What we're doing tonight is a testimony to our faith to an unsaved world who don't understand what we're doing at all when we take of the bread and take of the cup. Again, I said in verse 23, Jesus instituted it. As bread and as the cup supports the body, we know this. Bread supports the body. The liquid of the cup supports the body. Then what we see here, as bread and cup supports the body, he supports the soul. He's the one that keeps. He's the one that births. He's the one that literally, the Holy Spirit draws us to the Lamb of God. God places us into the family of God. Again, I said this is not a funeral, it's a feast. His dying command should be held present. This is right before he went out to go to Calvary. The next day, he's going to be arrested. Well, that night, before it gets daylight, in the morning time, he's going to be arrested. This is like one of the last things he tells his disciples. And it's so important that he didn't reveal to Peter or none of the disciples to tell it later. He showed it to the Apostle Paul sometimes after that, within about 26 years, because when Paul wrote to the church at Corinth, he included, isn't it amazing? He included to Corinth, which is the most cardinal church you find in the New Testament, and he didn't say anything else about it nowhere else in any other epistle or church. Wonder why? Could it be that more carnal someone is, the more they need to stop and remember what Christ has done for them? Could it be that he sent it to the most carnal church that they would understand there's a time you need to remember, and if you'll stop your fast activity, your fast lane life, and remember what Christ did for us, it may cause us to be less carnal as a child of God. Now, there's got to be a reason. God, you know this morning, there's a purpose that God does everything. And so when we look at these events, this event, he, of all that happened that night before Christ was went out to be crucified, all that happened, this is the only thing we have that he set forth for us to do later. And then it is just interesting, 2,000 years later, churches are keeping communion. Some of them abuse it. Some of them use it. Some of them use a ceremony. But we try our best biblically to use it to remember what Christ has done for us. And we're moving so fast today in the fast lane, you'd be surprised that we talk, we pray to Christ, but how much do we remember what he's done for us? To take communion is to remember Christ. Here tonight, we're not doing this to get. We're not doing this to get. We're not requesting anything to God to get. We're not doing this to ask God for anything. We're not doing this, ladies and gentlemen, to request God to do anything. We're doing this tonight to remember our Savior. And so tonight as we go into this communion, we have open communion here, and we do that because of our day. We would not have anything against closed communion, those who want to have that. But we believe in our day with the mobile society that we have, that when the day comes, and we have it here always the fifth Sunday night, he says, as often as you do it. Some people say, well, how many times do you have to do it? He doesn't tell us, but he says, as often as you do it. So we do it at least four times a year. Sometimes we may do five if we do it New Year's Eve or something like that. But at the same time, when we come together like this, we do it to remember. We ask God every time else in prayer. We thank him in prayer, but tonight we do it in remembrance of him. And so as we go to the Lord in prayer and get ready for communion this time, I was saying we have open communion. The reason for that is a mobile society. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't care who it is. If a person is born again, if they're truly born again, they're my brothers and sisters in Christ. I don't care where they're at, where they live at, what state in life they are, whether they're poor, rich, whatever. It makes no difference when it comes to relationship to Christ. Money can't buy your way to heaven. Works can't buy your way to heaven. It's all by grace. So no matter who is saved, they're saved by grace. And therefore, no matter where they're at. And we believe that open communion helps that for people who sometimes, like our brother Urban said tonight, his job calls him to travel a lot when they're somewhere or another. And it sometimes they cannot be when their church had communion. They can have it with someone else. If they're like faith in the same type of atmosphere that we have here, and in turn would visit. And of course, we certainly, if we go anywhere to church, went away from church, it won't be like faith. Amen. Certainly don't want to go to a place where it's not going to be like faith. That'd be just kind of destroying the purpose to start with. So we have open communion, and that means simply we welcome you to take communion with us. But we warn you, if you're not saved, be careful. Because God finishes this, as he writes to the church at Corinth, that they're to not take it unworthy. And God says, I made a way that can be worthy. There's no reason to take it unworthy. As you remember back what God has done, and you think of what I've done for you, and you see to it at this moment, you confess your sins as a child of God. He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us of unrighteousness just as much now as he did the day we trusted Christ as our Savior. The blood will do the same now for us it did then. The only difference is it cleanses us now from being contaminated in this world, whereas that time it delivered us from this wicked world and placed us into the family of God. The Bible talks about in the church at Corinth also that we've been baptized. That means we've been immersed into the body of Christ, which is a spiritual immersion, being part of his body. So at this particular time, let's go to the Lord in prayer and pray, and then ask the fellows to come down and we'll take communion. As we go to the Lord in prayer, we need to ask the Lord to search us, search our hearts. Let a man examine himself, verse 28 says, so let him eat of the bread and drink of that cup. Examine yourself. Remember what Christ has done, and remember the promise that he made, even for this time that we come to the place of remembering him. He says that as he broke the bread and blessed it, he did this, or blessed it, and then broke it, he did this, he said this, do in remembrance of me. And when he took of the cup, he blessed it, and he says, as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. Then he says, for as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. Our Heavenly Father, we want to thank you tonight for the wonderful plan, the wonderful purpose of God. Even in your original purpose, Lord, when Adam and Eve disrupted what you planned due to sin, you have a present purpose of redeeming a people to your name for your name's sake. And it's going on until Jesus comes back. And you're preparing a people for the ultimate purpose, and that's to be with you forever in eternity. But now, Lord, we're in a wicked world. We're so easy to be led astray. Sometimes we think we're strong when really we're weak. And Satan knows the weak spots. He never attacks frontal against us spiritually in strong areas, Lord. He always waits and watches for the weak spots. And there's not a person in this building, there's not a person on the face of the earth today who names the name of Christ that don't have some weak spots. And Satan waits and he analyzes until the time he can come against that weak spot. He times himself at the right time. And dear Lord, we find ourselves due to the many things in our thinking that we don't control, and then suddenly it's in our action or it's in our expression. It's in something in our lives. And the Lord, we thank thee for time to come, not to trust you as Savior. We've already done that. We've been born into the family of God, as Jesus talked in John 3. We come, as you said in 1 John, again, verse 1, chapter 1 and verse 9, if we confess our sins, you're faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We thank you for that promise. So we come tonight asking you, as a mother, as a dad, as parents, as a husband, as a wife, as a family, as a friend, as just a person of the human race, as a born-again child of God, to search our hearts, confess the sin that's there specifically, and remember what Jesus did to wash us and cleanse us, and realize the reflecting of our heart is seen in our lives as we walk this side of eternity to reflect the Lord Jesus Christ, to honor Him, to exalt Him, to be submissive to the Holy Spirit of God, which is the job to honor and exalt the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said He'll not talk about Himself when He comes in John 14 and 16, but He will tell of me. And that's what the Holy Spirit is doing through the precious Word of God. Lord, thank You for this night. And we look back to the last time of communion, and from there to now, we're grateful to know we leave this place clean before God by confession of sin. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. Amen.